Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Next to a row over government ministers telling tales, under the law, the confidentiality of cabinet meetings must be respected at all times, except where the High Court determines otherwise. But former Independent Alliance ministers Finian McGrath and Shane Ross are accusing Fine Gael of leaking sensitive information from cabinet. That comes with Fine Gael having been seemingly upset over Shane Ross's tell-all book about his time at Cabinet with Messrs Kenny Varadkar, Coveney and Co. The former Social Protection Minister Regina Doherty tweeted yesterday, "It is quite clear that Shane Ross doesn't understand Cabinet confidentiality. So many lapses in his memoirs, not a good look for a former Cabinet Minister." Regina Doherty, good morning to you.
Morning, how are you?
And Shane Ross, a very good morning to you too.
Good morning, Philip.
Regina, what's your issue with Shane?
I just feel, to be honest with you, now I might end up sounding like a sap or a bore, but I was one of 21 female ministers since the foundation of the state. I took the job very, very seriously. It was a huge honour for me to be there, to be present at the table making decisions on behalf of the 5 million people that we serve in this country. And I just think that the indecent haste kind of proves that Shane has written this book, obviously with help, but the indecent haste leaves us within no doubt that he had no interest in being a minister, that he was only there taking notes from a journalistic perspective to provide us with this tell-all book. I think it's unedifying. I think it's a real shame, to be honest with you, because we all have only a small opportunity to make a difference and to make an impact. Some people think it's positive, other people, in my case, maybe think it's more negative than anything else. But I just think this is a real pity. And I think it really clearly shows that it's about naked attention seeking. It's about publicity. I even feel guilty being on with you, to be honest with you, Phil, because I'm given him more publicity. And I think that's a shame for me even to be part of it. But I just think it's unedifying.
There's a number of zingers in there that I'm sure Shane will want to respond to, but let's try and do the high-minded bit first, will we? What purpose is served by keeping from the public details of what goes on in Cabinet? Why not be transparent?
So there's a briefing that happens every week after Cabinet. It's usually on a Tuesday straight after, and the press office or the government press secretary, along with ministers, give details of decisions that have been made. And so that happens that routinely, everybody, like there are no secrets, but the arriving at those decisions, the discussions, the, you know, the collaborations, the differences of opinion, they're not fodder for journalists or from commentators and stuff. Like, there are businesses being conducted between 15 adults in the best interest of the people of the state. And I just think it's unedifying to come out and do your tale tattler, you know, after. I just...
Indeed.
Like, I'm quite open to the fact that I'm probably going to be called a bore. And,
okay,
you know, but
what you're saying is that cabinet confidentiality is not actually really about confidentiality so much as it is about collective responsibility. We all take responsibility for the decision that has been reached here and we will stick to that. So what harm that we know the details of what goes on at cabinet?
Because I think the reason the confidentiality and the collective responsibility is there is because you act as a unit. Coming out and telltale tattler, you said, he said, and I disagreed on a Monday, that kind of belies the whole concept of being collectively responsible. And telling tales as to how we arrived at decisions. And, you know, you couldn't possibly put 15 relatively strong, egoed people at a table and for them not to have different views and different opinions on a particular policy. But that's the confidentiality allows us to be able to share. And now, to be fair, not that there's much going around these days because we seem to be live tweeting cabinet meetings anyway, but that confidentiality allows you to be able to share without fear or favour your, you know, your view. And then to arrive collectively at a decision on a policy that has been put forward by a particular minister.
Okay. Well,
and actually, for what it's worth, and here's me now probably dumping it and sharing. I remember a particular cabinet meeting that Minister Shane Ross went bananas on because something had been leaked, not by him, but of his particular ministry beforehand, and he went bananas over it. And so, like, what's good for the goose?
Gosh, Shane, there is an awful lot here, isn't there? You're a telltale tattler, you're an attention seeker, you weren't interested in being in a minister, you were just gathering fodder for your next journalistic enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the anger that has come out as a result of this. And what I've tried to do is just to tell a tale of what happened. for the last 4 years in government. It would be absolutely impossible to tell a tale of being in bed with Sinn Féin without referring to the cabinet and referring to the cabinet in detail and how we made our decisions. And the decisions were made in very interesting ways, but about in ways which I guess the public have no knowledge of at all. And people took positions which were interesting and volatile and very vehement, and that didn't come necessarily into the public arena. Now, there's several things I should say about what was said by Regina just now. First of all, this isn't the first time that a cabinet minister has written about their time in government and has discussed what happened at cabinet meetings. Gemma Hussey did it after she was in the cabinet, and Gareth Fitzgerald did it.
Just because they stuck their head in the fire doesn't mean that you have to too.
Well, it means that there's some very good Fine Gael precedent for it, and it means that they gave an enlightened view and a very clear view of accountability and what was happening in cabinet, and it is necessary.
Okay, I've got something that trumps precedent, though, Shane. Article 28.4.3 of the Constitution: the confidentiality of discussions at meetings of the government shall be respected in all circumstances, save only where the High Court determines that disclosure should be made. You didn't go down to the High Court to get permission to publish this, did you?
No, I didn't, and I don't intend to do that, and I don't expect that there'll be any prosecutions as a result either, because the precedent is there for them having done this. And maybe I've broadened it a bit, and I've probably produced a little bit more detail than they did. But there is a real problem with cabinet confidentiality, and that was true when I was there, and indeed Regina was there at the time, when everything was leaked. And it's far better than it's told in an orderly way what happened. And there was a real problem. When I got into cabinet the first day, the first thing I had to do, as did every other cabinet minister, was to take their mobile telephones out of their pockets and put in a locker outside. And everybody had to do that because everybody was leaking. Or not everybody, but a large number of people were leaking stuff in the cabinet. Now, when that was Ender's big cat, when Leo came in, he said, no, this is ridiculous. Bring your mobiles back in. And the result of that was, I remember at one cabinet meeting, Simon Coveney saying, this item we're now discussing, okay, but it's out on RT already. What's being said at this cabinet meeting?
All right, so but your defence here is essentially everybody else is doing this, so why can't I?
Well, I'm saying that it is there's a lot of precedent for it, but it's in the public interest that they should know exactly what happens. I mean, for instance, does anybody really know how the cabinet operates? Do the public not know?
Okay.
Do they know that for the last 4 years there wasn't a single vote in the cabinet? That's the fact. I suspect they think that there's a lot of discussion then a vote. There was never one vote at all. That's just one fairly harmless example. Also, it should be conveyed how people conduct themselves. The fact that it comes out in this book, the judicial appointments is a kind of really opaque system which goes through cabinet on the nod, under the arm, in other words, without...
All right, but do you accept Regina's point that what you have done here, what everybody who leaks from cabinet ends up doing, is undermining that safe space for ministers to express their objections, their reservations absolutely freely in the knowledge that they will be kept secret and confidential? That's just completely undermined. It doesn't exist at all anymore.
But my book's not undermining that at all. That's undermined already. You might as well have an RTE camera in the room most of the time, because people have been leaking stuff out contemporaneously, and it's going straight out. So it's not undermining anything. What's undermining cabinet confidentiality, if it's a good thing, which I don't think it is in any sense, is the fact that people are leaking to their favourite journalists day and night as things are happening. It's all on the RTE news, not all of it, but a lot of it's on the RTE.
Regina, Shane is not undermining anything.
Well, I don't agree. So first of all, not everybody is tweeting from cabinet. I think that's unfair for him to say. It's quite obvious that there are some members doing it, but they have to be responsible for their own actions in the same way as that Shane needs to be responsible for his. And I'm not angry, Shane. I'm quite sure your book would be quite entertaining, to be honest with you, albeit that most of it and the foundations of it are based on a lie, because your cartoon-esque description of all Fine Gaelers doesn't even match to probably 10% of the entire membership of our organisation. But I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. you signed up, you know, under the law to be one of the most honourable members of Irish society, to be able to make decisions on behalf of 5 million people. And now you think it's just a frivolous thing that you can make a few bob off the back of, you know, telling your stories in a publication. I just think that's so disappointing for somebody that should have taken pride and honour in sitting at a cabinet table making those decisions for 4 years.
Shane Ross?
Which I did, and I'm very honoured to have been there. But I do think that the public have a right to know what happens behind these closed doors. And I think it's absolutely absurd to say, once you go behind those closed doors, you don't have to be accountable for what you say, what you do. You can act according to, completely and utterly, against what you said before, and that the public should be deprived of the information of how the centre of government works. They see what happens in the Doyle, which is a lot of it is theatrical, but they don't see how the actual serious decisions are made. And that's what I'm trying to get out there. And I'm going to, if it's embarrassing for some people...
Yeah, okay, well, hang on a second.
Well, I'll tell you what's actually embarrassing is that for 4 years you sat around a table where the decisions about confidentiality and any changes that you would have liked to have been made about that section of the law could have been discussed, and never once did you bring it up except when somebody leaked on you.
Shane,
do you not understand how embarrassing that looks like right now?
Can I put it to you this way, Shane, that we now live in a time when the coherence of government messaging is actually a life and death matter, and that when you end up confusing that unified message of government with all sorts of extraneous details coming out of cabinet meetings about who supported what level of lockdown, you're actually confusing the message going to the public, and that has real public health implications?
I don't think there's any extraneous details at all about what happens in the lockdown. And where I talk about it, under the COVID government, I think it's really important that the public see exactly what position is taken, because that's where the central argument is taking place. And that's where the most vital argument is taking place. And I talk in the book, I talk quite seriously about the conflicts between the politicians and method and the tensions there. And it's really important that the public know about these and what people are saying about these, so that they can talk to their TDs and ministers about what they feel and see what they're saying in cabinet, what their stance is in cabinet. Because the big battle at the moment, really, I suppose, has been between Neffert and the politicians, and there's a battle about who controls it. If that argument is hidden from the public, I think the public will lose confidence in the cabinet and lose confidence in the system. They're much more likely to respect their TDs and their ministers if they know what they're saying, what positions they're taking, than if it's just hidden behind closed doors. I think that would be totally wrong.
Regina, it's never a bad thing for the public to have the facts.
No, it's not. But what is very unedifying is for a gentleman who held one of the highest offices in the land to now disrespect the oath that he took around that cabinet table by, you know, his little telltale book of he said, she said. When never once during the 4 years he sat at the table suggested that we should change cabinet confidentiality. You know, it's a bit... Look, we all know what this is. This is Shane's attempt, you know, to have a story. He's a journalist for donkey's years as well as being a senator before he was a TD and a minister. And that's fine, but call it for what it is. I just think it's really sad that for somebody that achieved one of the highest offices and privileges in the land that any politician or citizen can achieve, that you'd stoop this low. I just think it's sad.
Should there be a sanction then? Should ministers who can be proven to have leaked be punished?
Well, we've had a number of investigations over the 4 years that I was at cabinet. But unfortunately, they can't be proved because so many people have access to the memos, be it, you know, your own political staff, yourself as a minister, some of the government officials and stuff. And okay, so it never goes anywhere.
But when you publish,
but there should be.
When you publish a book with your name on it and it's got details of what happened in cabinet, I think you can prove beyond all shadow of a doubt that that's a leak. Yeah. Should that be punished?
Well, I think somebody should follow it up, because I think once you break the golden rule of actually respecting each other and having collective responsibility by that team of 15 around the table who are charged with making the decisions in the best interest of the people, then it all breaks apart, falls, you know, you're not a team anymore.
All right, Regina Doherty and Shane Ross, thank you both very much.